aim to be the best in the world?
This is Sunday night's main event.
I'm better than you.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
And you know it.
You want a taste?
You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother.
Put out the caution tape. Put out the orange cones.
Acknowledge me.
Welcome, everyone, to that time of year. It is that time of year. Happy holidays. I hope everyone is staying safe. And here at SNME, it's when we like to gather around the holiday tree or the Festivus pole, and we give the best and the worst of 2023 from the world of professional wrestling. That's right, it is everyone's favorite show. And this week, we are going to be starting with the best of 2023. But before we do all of that, we might as well go around this round table and introduce everybody. So we're going to start with the Smack Daddies themselves, Brad the Dad McKinnon. Brad, how's it going?
Excellent. I have an orange pop with me, and I am going to enjoy talking about the best part of 2023.
Yes, the best, that's for sure. Also joining him is his compadre. He is Greg, Father Falcon. Greg, how's it going?
I'm here, Brad. I'm here, Boris. I'm here, Eric. I don't know how to make technology go. This is starting out great.
What do you do for a living?
I don't know, but I think I'm a good candidate for worst on the mic this year.
Oh, for sure. We should have our own SNME Awards. And also joining us is the host of Impactful and a raw dog himself, a Bato Loco, Eric B. Eric, how's it going?
Listen, besides you almost completely forgetting me there, Boris, it's going okay. I am drinking an orange pop, so I'm doing all right. It's the holiday season. Boop de boo. Let's have a good time, guys.
We are going to have a good time. And before we get started with the best of 2023, I just kind of want to take a second to reflect on the year that was. Because, you know, taking a look at the results, taking a look at my ballot itself, sometimes you forget what happened back in January. And it's like, this year has been insane. Like, I honestly, for a few days, forgot that Cody even won the Royal Rumble, right? Like, that's, I know that that was a very major thing, but it just feels like so long ago, right? Like, you know, CM Punk has worked in two companies this year. It's been absolutely crazy, to say the least. So I kind of wanted to reflect on 2023 and get people's, your opinions on how the wrestling world treated you in 2023. So we're going to start with Greg. Greg, how did 2023 treat you in the wrestling world?
Oh, it started off really strong and then went off a cliff pretty quickly when we got to Montreal. And it's been a hard road to come back after that, Brad. Or Boris, I've got to say. It's, the WrestleMania didn't help that matter at all. And it's been a struggle this year. There's a lot of great stuff out there, but it's certainly had some ups and downs.
I see you're taking the role of Dan Lavransky this year. all right. So also with that said, no, but it's funny because as we go through the ballot, you're going to notice that a lot of people are actually kind of have the same and share very similar opinions as you. So we're going to get to that. Brad, 2023 wrestling world. How did it treat you?
I feel like it was a glass half full rather than a glass half empty. I really enjoyed most of it. There were some bumps along the road. The story didn't get finished when it should have, but there were so many other good things. The way I judge a year is based on my ballot. I found it really hard to pick the best of wrestlers because there were two or three, and equally hard to pick the worst of because there were very few. There were some shining gems for that show next week, but this week, I think we have a great show, and I think we're going to be able to have a healthy debate about many of the topics here on the ballot.
Oh, exactly. And we're going to get to the ballot. We're going to get how we're going to be doing things very shortly. Eric, I haven't forgotten about you just yet. I might in a little bit.
Not this time.
Eric, how has 2020, not this time. How has 2023 treated you?
It's been okay. I mean, I kind of share very similar feelings to the Smack Daddies in the sense that I felt like things started off very strong, especially for the American listeners out there. Like you said, Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble, potentially getting that story to come to an end, was such a big thing. And we're still going on with that amazing story. Can you guys hear the sarcasm in my voice? Maybe you can. We'll get to that later on in the show when we're talking of worst or more overrated of the year. Sorry, I'm giving out a little bit too many clues here. But yeah, it went downhill for me after Forbidden Door, honestly. And after seeing something just so incredible, especially live in person, it was really hard for me to and that's what I was doing. I was comparing everything to that. So there was a lot of high points, but I also think that the oversaturation right now of professional wrestling is killing us as fans.
It really is, right? I would have to agree 100% with you on that. We've talked about it so many times on the show, on this very round table, where sometimes it's just too much. And, you know, there is such thing as too much pizza, and I think that's what we're getting right now with wrestling, right? But the beauty, like I've said so many times, it's like, you know, I've made this comparison so many times where it's kind of like that comic book movie thing, right? Where back in the day you had so few, so you watched everything. Now there's so many, so you can pick and choose. It's the same with wrestling, right? You don't have to watch WWE if you don't want to. You don't have to watch AEW if you don't want to. You know, you can pick and choose whatever you like because there is a flavor for whatever it is that you like. If you're more on the hardcore side, you can watch some GCW. If you like the Pro-Wrestling, you can watch some New Japan, All Japan, Noah, whatever, right? There's just so much wrestling, and it's, as we turn the calendar into 2024, it's crazy that there's going to be so much more wrestling on national TV. And we don't even know what the TV landscape is going to look like in a year.
No, I mean, it's changed so much even in this year with the announcements prepping for 2024. So, yeah, there's a lot to be determined on wrestling, where we're going to watch it, how we're going to watch it, how we're going to consume it. If wrestling's even going to be on Monday nights, we'll have to wait and see.
And we're in an interesting time though, Boris, because we're also talking about the TV industry, which is being restructured as we speak. There were merger talks just before Christmas. There's all of these talks going on. So who knows if the bubble's going to burst for the digital media era? Will things go back to traditional cable, or will we get, you know, the first major wrestling program on something like Prime, or is it going to be behind another paywall like Netflix? Who knows who's going to get into the race?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had a crystal ball. You make a really good point. Make a really good point there in regards to digital media. I mean, Prime really started it off in the summertime when they started having exclusive WNBA games. And ever since then, they've made deals. Amazon has made deals with the NFL. And we'll probably see that happen with the wrestling landscape as well. We just don't know exactly what promotion it will be.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, every time I log on to Prime, I feel like there's more advertisement for their next live sports event. And it's crazy to see. Yeah, they're not the NBAs and, you know, the NHLs. They do have NFL, right? But, like, it's interesting to see the platform, how the platform and the world is changing. And Brad, you brought up a great point. You know, there are merger talks right now between WWE, Discovery, and Paramount. How does this affect any negotiations between WWE, Discovery, and AEW, WWE, Discovery, and WWE, right? I talked about it this last week on the show with Chris Van Vliet, right? Like, you know, WWE Discovery isn't a profitable company per se. So it's going to be a very interesting landmark. And that's just the business side of stuff, right? In terms of the actual in-ring product, is Cody Rhodes going to finish his story? Is Seth Rollins going to stay in WWE? Where is Becky Lynch going to end up? How long is Charlotte going to be out for? Is CM Punk going to main event WrestleMania? Who is the devil? Do we care about the devil? Well, we're going to be getting some of those answers with this ballot. But it's just, yeah, so much to look forward to. And like you said, it's one of the things that I'm kind of watching is, is that bubble going to burst? Is more, as you know, Jason Agnew used to famously say. We'll see, gents. So with that said, I think it is time for us to get into the ballot. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk about the best of 2023. The way that it's going to work is, I'll give out the category. I'll give out the, we'll do the round table with our own picks. then we're going to turn over to you, and we will give out what you said on the ballot. Thank you to everyone who did give in a ballot. We had a tremendous response, which makes for a very interesting year. I'll also give away what we said last year, because in some of these categories, the juxtaposition of where things were last year to this year is very, very, very interesting. All right, gentlemen, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Let's get going, guys.
Let us start with the best wrestler of 2023, and we're going to start with the females this year. All right, so Brad, who is your best wrestler female for 2023?
So this hurts me because she is not on my show. She is on the Raw show. Rhea Ripley has had a tremendous year. She has gone from not just being one of the most dominant wrestlers in ring, but one of them on the microphone, so much so that she spends a lot of time around the guys and basically runs a male faction on Raw. She is a tremendous wrestler, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do with her story in 2024.
Right, Brad says Rhea Ripley. Greg, how about you?
Okay, I'm going to start with an honorable mention pick right off the bat here in the very first category.
That's
we're
not
doing.
How or... this works, my yeah, friend.
I don't... Jeez. Listen, I don't play by your rules. I make things up clearly as I go. So, yeah. So, we're going to start off with an honorable mention here. And I'm going to go out in left field. But hear me out. Best wrestler 2023, Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose started the year as WWE NXT champion. She got let go.
Within a few days.
But every time
was there some news on the internet about that, guys? You guys should know about that. You're both married, you smack guys.
Every time her content comes up on my feed, I stop everything and watch. So I'm going to give an honorable mention this year to Mandy Rose. That's what I'm going to say. But all right, in all seriousness, my best female wrestler 2023, Rhea Ripley, for all the reasons wow. Brad said. I can't, there's no one else out there that I could give this to without thinking, yeah, but Rhea did it better. Rhea just dominates that division and all of WWE. And I think, you know, she would dominate wherever she was. So Rhea Ripley, my women's wrestler of the year, or female wrestler of the year.
There's something to be said about you saying dominate and Rhea Ripley in the same sentence constantly. That just makes me giggle like a schoolgirl. That's amazing. Eric, who is your best female wrestler for 2023?
We're going 3 for 3 on Rhea Ripley here, guys. Is there any debate? Is there any other name that even comes close to the mountaintop that she's put herself upon? Ever since she's become the champion, and even before that, Rhea Ripley has been one of the top draws that this company has to offer. And I'll give you a clear-cut example. Just on ratings alone, as soon as it was announced 3 weeks ago that Rhea was not going to be on the show, the ratings dipped down by 10% for the rest of the night. Nobody wanted to watch anymore because they know mommy isn't showing up. The people in the arena let out an audible groan knowing that she wasn't there once it was officially announced. So there is nobody who is more important for the future of this company right now than Rhea Ripley is. And to your point, guys, yeah, she would dominate anywhere she goes. And I honestly, if WWE was ever willing to pull the trigger, she would dominate in the men's division too. And if there was a mixed match that we could see her in, I easily see her going over so much of the male talent on the roster. Honestly, mommy's the best. We all love mommy.
And here, we do here love- I thought, Eric, you were going to talk about other ways she can dominate you.
Family show, guys. Family show. Well, she dominated this ballot because my choice is for Rhea Ripley as well. I can't add much more than everything you guys said, especially Eric, right? Like, she is money. She is important to WWE right now. You know, there's so many reports from so many credible sources saying that she's seen as, you know, one of the top draws for the company, period. Doesn't, not male, not female, just period. All right, so let's go to the ballot from the SNME listeners, and they also agree with everybody. Rhea Ripley with 85% of the vote. 85% of the vote goes to Rhea Ripley. Toni Storm in second place with 10%. Honorable mentions, Julia, Roxanne Perez, and Britt Baker, which is interesting.
Wow, that's... I'm surprised that she took that much. That says something about where she is in the company right now and in the industry.
I think that says something about WWE. And that's going to be a trend throughout this show and the next show. So let's take a look at where we were this time last year. Best wrestler female last year was Bianca Belair with 32%, Britt Baker with 16%, Jamie Hayter with 10%. Yeah. Things have changed quite a bit. All right, let us move on to the mail.
You know what that goes to show you? Just goes to show you that booking is everything, right? They've booked Rhea strongly ever since her loss at WrestleMania, you know, the famous WrestleMania with nobody there. They booked her really strong since then, and especially in these last 12 months. So that goes to show you where she is now.
Agreed 100% with you on that. We're going to be flipping things, and we're going to talk about the best wrestler male. Greg, who do you have for this?
All right, best wrestler male I have on my ballot is Gunther. Gunther has been the talk of WWE, whether he was on SmackDown, whether he's on Raw. He is the workhorse. He is there every week. He is putting on great matches consistently every single time he's on TV. His look has improved. He's just been that guy, the workhorse of the company, taking that Intercontinental title to the longest reign that's ever had. So I'm going to pick Gunther this year as my best male wrestler.
I like that choice. He's made a character out of The Miz. He's made us care about The Miz again. So that just goes to show you the workhorse that is Gunther. Eric, who do you have for best wrestler male?
For me, it's Seth Rollins. Honestly, this guy, when we're talking about workhorses, this guy, week in, week out, pay-per-view in, pay-per-view out, he's on every card. He's constantly defending that belt on his broken back, by the way. This guy is just shined for the company for so many years, and he has been so underrated, notoriously underrated. So for me to see him now at the top of really the mountain, and you can argue that Roman is at a higher echelon when he's actually there, but Seth is there all the time, consistent, and he's just always delivering. So for me, it's Seth Rollins.
Awesome, awesome. Brad, who do you have?
Wow, I'm going to be a different pick as well. I picked MJF. I think MJF has started as a heel this year, became a baby face, went from a tweener to a baby face. He has had an incredible run as the world champion, hampered by some injuries, hampered by some of the booking decisions, but he can play both sides of the field, whether heel or face. People love him, and he is the real deal. And just seeing him this year in person, he can do little things and get giant reactions. He gets the most out of the least, and that's why he's my wrestler of the year.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. This one was a hard one. I was tossing between two people, but I'm going to have to give it up to Will Ospreay. I think that Will Ospreay has just, you know, his work speaks for itself. He's had banger after banger after banger all over the world, all over promotions. Doesn't matter where he ends up, he's giving you a good match. So that's my pick. The other person that I was thinking of was actually Swerve Strickland. What Swerve Strickland has done over the past year has just been incredible. But I do think that he's going to have a much better 2024. And I have a feeling that we're going to be talking about Swerve Strickland this time next year. So, you know, we're going to keep an eye on that. Turning over to the ballot from the listeners, Will Ospreay wins with 45% of the vote. In second place, Seth Rollins, and MJF with 25% each. There you go.
Yeah, honorable mentions. Those all make a lot of sense.
Honorable mentions, Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, and CM Punk. If we take a look at last year, best wrestler male was Jon Moxley with 22%, Roman Reigns, and then Will Ospreay behind him. So very interesting how things have changed quite a little bit, but not really so much. This year, we're giving love to the other member of the Shield. All right, we are going to go to best tag team for 2023. We're going to start this time with Eric. Eric, who is your best tag team for 2023?
For me, I just got to stick with like a fan favorite and a personal favorite as well. For me, it's Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. To see El Generico and Kevin Steen finally finish their story ultimately at WrestleMania, take the tag team titles from the Bloodline, really conquer the Bloodline. And honestly, I feel like if Kevin Owens didn't get injured, we would have seen them as, you know, the title holders for a lot longer. I feel they would have ran that out a little bit more. So it's Sammy and KO for me.
Excellent. Excellent. Greg, how about you? Who is your pick for best tag team of 2023?
This may be a little controversial, but I'm going to pick it anyway. For me, it's Better Than You, Bebe, Adam Cole and MJF. Got to see those guys live in Boston, repping the Better Than You Bebe shirts, myself and Brad there at TD Gardens. These guys always seem to put on a good show. They always made me smile and made me appreciate what they were doing in the ring. And I mean, there's other people who can do more flips and kicks and everything else, but I'll be damned. Like, you see that kangaroo kick get over, you see double clothesline. I mean, it's the most ridiculous things, but that's what made me happy when I was watching it. And that's what made me think, when I think back on it, that I will put my phone down and watch these guys when they're in the ring together. And that's what my biggest judging factor was on best tag team. So it's Better Than You, Bebe.
Interesting pick. We might be hearing from them next week. Brad, how about you? Best tag team for 2023.
Honorable mention to FTR. They were my very close. They were like my 1B. But my one, this is why I agree with my tag team partner. It was Better Than You, Bebe. I bought their shirt, and I don't buy very much wrestling merchandise. I love wrestling, but I don't spend a lot of money on t-shirts and things like that, mostly because my wardrobe is full of t-shirts and I'm not allowed to buy any more unless I get rid of one, and they're all precious to me. So it was just that thing. Like, Greg got me the shirt. We went down, we wore those shirts. Every time I put on that shirt, I feel amazing. And let's be honest, guys, one of the amazing things about this is they are still the ROH Tag Team Champions, even though Adam Cole's knee exploded.
Yep. Ankle. Yeah, that's exactly it. So my pick is FTR. FTR, you know, they just haven't been shown the love from AEW, but anytime they do have a match, it is a banger. So I am going to go with FTR. And everyone else seems to agree with me, because 55% of the ballot was for FTR, Adam Cole and MJF. It was second place with 20%. Remember what I said just a few seconds ago. That's how this year is going to be. So Cole and MJF at 20%. And then we have Owens and Zayn at 15%, with honorable mentions to Motor City Machine Guns, The Acclaimed. And this one shocked me, but there is a percentage around this: Tony D and Channing Stacks Lorenzo from NXT.
What?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Right? I mean, I okay.
Two-time, two-time guys, two-time NXT champions,
and I'm just shocked because people are watching the show again, right? Like, after the NXT 2.0 experiment, you know, it was just a lost cause. But it just goes to show you that people are giving NXT a chance. The pay-per-views are always fun, and yeah, some people like Tony D and Channing Stacks Lorenzo. If we take a look at last year, best tag team, FTR won with 25%. The Acclaimed with 10%, the Young Bucks with 6%, how things have changed a little bit. All right, we are going to go to the next category, which is best on the mic, just best on the mic, period. All right, so we're going to start this one. I'll start this one, and I'm going to have to say that the best on the mic for me is L.A. Knight. I think that LA Knight, just given everything, given where he was last year to this year, you know, it's something to be said. You can question his booking. You can question some of the losses. You can question Crown Jewel. You can question so much. But I think on the mic, week over week, LA Knight, with the limited time he's been given, has done an amazing job. Brad, how about you? Best on the mic.
I went with Cody Rhodes. Cody has always been a great orator. The best thing that ever happened to him was go to WWE and have somebody that edits his promos and doesn't allow him to go down those weird rabbit holes. Having a scriptwriter has helped him a great deal. And the company picks him when they need somebody to go out, like we saw in Tribute to the Troops a few weeks ago. They need somebody to go out and be their ambassador. Cody is going to fill in that John Cena role for the foreseeable future in WWE.
Yep. Eric, best on the mic mail.
It's LA Knight. It's LA Knight by a landslide. When you cross over into the category of being entirely memeable, you see the yeah on TikTok all the time. It's LA Knight. The guy just controls the crowd better than anybody. He gets better crowd pops than anybody else. And yeah, you can say, well, he should have won. He should have had the Money in the Bank briefcase. But there's a reason why he is not there yet. And he's going to get there for sure. But man, nobody controls a crowd like he does. It's LA Knight for me.
Yep. Greg, how about you? Best on the mic mail.
You know, I agree 100% with you guys on LA Knight, but I'm not as torn to him as you guys may be. I have always found that he is, you know, it's more of a 90s ripoff. So I went with Adam Cole and Storytime with Adam Cole as my best on the mic. Again, one of those instances where if Adam Cole's got a microphone in his hand, I'm going to put my phone down and I'm going to actually pay attention to what the man says. So that's where I went with Storytime with Adam Cole.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment, right? And like I say so often, I judge how good something is by whether I'm staring at my phone. As I stare at my phone and we do this show, go figure. But I think that's a very, very, very like great choice. So let's see what the people have spoken. And best on the mic, male MJF with 50%, LA Knight with 20%, Christian Cage and CM Punk tied with 10%, and Seth Rollins was notable. Last year, we had MJF in first place with 70% of the vote, and then Sami Zayn with 12.5%, and then we had Cody, Punk, Moxley all tied for third.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Yet.
All right. We are going to go to the next category, which is best on the mic for female. Eric, who do you have for this one?
Nia Jax. Oh, no, wait. You said best on the mic. Right. Okay. It's for me, it's the man, Becky Lynch. It's got to be Becky Lynch. Anytime that she does a promo, she knocks it out of the park. She makes you believe in the storylines that she's thrust into, no matter how poor they are. And even recently, you know, this week on Raw, she actually made you care a little bit about this match coming up with Nia Jax, which is hard for anybody to do. So it's Becky, the man, Lynch, and the man has come to SNME's best of 2023.
Yep. Great choice. Great choice. Brad, who is the best female on the microfono for you?
I went with an unusual pick. I picked Bayley. I think Bayley has done some of the best work of her career this year, leading a faction. I think she was a great mouthpiece, especially for some of her compatriots who English is a second language. And I will be very interested to see what her promo style will be when she becomes a face again. So I'm looking forward to Bayley, some version of the hugger with a little edge.
Excellent choice. Greg, how about you? Best female on the mic.
I'm going to steal Eric's comments earlier, but it's Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is the needle mover. She's the one who is running that female division. She's best on the mic.
Yep. And my choice just so happens to be the same choice as the listeners, and it is the woman who runs the bingo, Rhea Ripley, with 75%. Of the vote. Rhea Ripley is just dominating these best categories. It's great to see 75% of the people who listen to this fabulous show think that Rhea Ripley is the best female on the microphone. Toni Storm comes in second place with 15%.
That's crazy that she's having a great year with this new character, but the fact that she couldn't even crack like 20% tells you how dominant Rhea is.
So I've got to inquire, how does Toni Storm even make it on Best of the Mic when all of her films now are silent?
That's exactly. Honestly, like I said it this week on the Dynamite review, right? And it's a good thing and a bad thing all at once, where anytime she's on commentary, she steals the show. She steals the scene. You forget that there's even a match on sometimes because she is just so excellent on the commentary table. I think it's more to say about her character and the gimmick and the angle as opposed to her being good on the microphone per se. It's very interesting that we go from 75% Rhea Ripley to 15% Toni Storm. And there was a bunch of other people like Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, Britt Baker even made the list somehow, considering that she hasn't really talked on the mic so much this year. If we take a look at last year, Britt Baker won with 60%. Becky Lynch was in second place with 16%. This seems to be a category where one person just clearly is the winner. All right, we're going to go to the next category, and this is best on-air personality, announcer, backstage reporter, and we're going to start with Eric B on this one.
Okay, so because you gave me the option of best on-air announcer, I have to give kudos to Samantha Irvin, because there is nobody in any other company who makes you more excited for somebody to come into the ring. This woman, and at the end of the matches as well, she knocks it out of the park. You watch what she does, actually. There's a few videos online, and she'll hold the microphone right to her chest to pump herself up, keep it right there. And also, it's a live microphone at all times, so anything that she says could get picked up. And when you just watch her chest expand and her belt out these names, just honestly, man, she's better than Michael Buffer. She is so damn good, and WWE is so gifted to have her.
100%. I agree with everything that you said, because that is my pick as well. Samantha Irvin, the person who was able to make the entrance memeable and all that fun stuff on just social media. Just she's blown up on their social channels. So it is crazy, crazy, crazy to see how amazing she is. And Ricochet is luckiest man alive. He is the true winner of this category, my friends. All right, Greg, how about you? Best on-air announcer, backstage reporter.
All right, so my pick, and this is probably, I may show up on the worst of, but I'm going to pick it anyway, because I don't know if he's going to be here next year. My pick here is Michael Cole. Michael Cole is, I keep using the word workhorse, but he's the one there that is leading the announcers, leading the backstage reporters on all WWE's programming. He is the one there who is the voice of WWE, whether you like it or not. He, of course, there are some bad nights that he has, but I mean, better than not, Michael Cole is the voice of wrestling for this generation, and I that's who I've got as my best on air.
That is a great choice. Michael Cole gets a lot of flack. I think people forget that he spent the majority of his almost 30-year career with Vince McMahon in his ear, right? I think that a lot of people turned on Michael Cole in the good way and saw how talented he was during the original NXT UK tournament. That tournament, if you want to see a masterclass in calling professional wrestling, watch the NXT UK tournament from 2017. Cole was just amazing in it. And over the past few months, he's just developed such a different character. And I think it's just Michael Cole being Michael Cole. And it's just great to see. So, Greg, that is a great, great choice. Brad, the dad, who do you have?
The guy who made me literally laugh out loud numerous times on a Friday night, Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, I'm so happy he got brought up to the main roster. I'm so happy to have him there. He is so funny, and his British wit is just perfect. He fits in perfectly there. I prefer just Cole and Barrett, but it's not bad with the three-man booth. Honorable mention to Booker T, who I know a lot of people crap on, but I find him hilarious. And if it wasn't for Booker T, Trip Williams' entrance wouldn't be as good as it is.
Yep. That's I think people just give Booker T crap because it's fun to give him crap. Yeah, he does a lot of stupid stuff. Sometimes I'm convinced that he's high off his just life, doing the announcing for NXT. But Booker T adds an element to it, and the repertoire that him and Vic Joseph are getting. They went from, I think, like feeling like they hated each other on TV in real life to just being legit friends and getting along back and forth. So that's where we are. All right. Are you ready to listen to the listener's choice for best on-air announcer, backstage reporter? This is a different one. It's an interesting one. Maybe some bias here, but Renee Paquette gets 25% of the votes. Nigel McGuinness with 20%. Ian Riccaboni with 15%. And we have some honorable mentions to Samantha Irvin, Wade Barrett, Excalibur, and Lexi Nair.
Wow.
Honestly, it goes to show what the male listeners are looking for here, folks. Honestly, getting pretty blonde onto the screen, and we're good to go.
That's literally all I need in life. All right, if we take a look at last year's results, we have Tony Schiavone, Renee Paquette, Excalibur, and Pat McAfee all at 16%. Then we had Kevin Kelly and the hardest working reporter in all of professional wrestling and someone who needs to just find a gig on professional wrestling again. That is Mackenzie Mitchell at 7%. Notable picks to Tom Hannifin, for some reason, Michael Cole, Vic Joseph, and Ian Riccaboni. Are you? Can't hear you right now. There we go.
Year over year, the changes.
Sorry, I'm like, what's wrong with you guys? Yeah, I'm like, what's wrong with you guys? Honestly, Tom Hannifin, really? No, everybody, you guys made some great picks. Honestly, anybody who submitted into the poll this year, you guys made some awesome picks. And the fact that we're even talking about all of these different guys, as much as our tastes, you know, personally, we may not like them, it's great to see that these different personalities are, you know, connecting out there. And that's what pro wrestling is all about with their fan base.
Yep. Agreed. 100%. It's great to see just so many choices, right? Like we're seeing some like real landslide victories, but I just love seeing how many people are being chosen. Just goes to show you how good just all the different aspects of wrestling is. When we have Samantha Irvin, someone who announces a name who we might hear, what, for 5 minutes throughout the entire show? That just goes to show you, right? All right, we're going to move on. The best non-wrestling performer. This could be a GM, a manager, or anything of the above. We are going to start with Greg.
All right, Craig's going to take himself off mute. Okay, best non-wrestling performer. Okay, this category here, I am sure we're going to get, you know, some great responses here. We're going to get, I mean, the Paul Heymans and everyone else in here. I'm going off the board here, Boris. I am going to pick the best non-wrestling performer of 2023 is Nick Aldis's suits. Nick Aldis' suits is the best non-wrestling performer this year. Nick Aldis, coming into WWE as the new GM of SmackDown on Friday night, that man is dressed to the nines every week, so I'm going to go with Nick Aldis' suits this year as my wrestling performer, best non-wrestling performer.
He does wear a damn good suit. He does wear a damn good suit. Very, very dapper with the navy blue suits he always seems to whip out. I do appreciate that. Brad, the dad, who do you have for best non-wrestling performer?
I'm already starting to dance because I picked Prince Nana, who almost was out of wrestling and then came in, was saddled with the embassy 2.0, had a whole bunch of stuff happen, and now is over like Rover. The best part is if you see the clips from indie shows when he is bringing people out of the crowd to do the Nana dance. When Swerve is a face, which is kind of crazy to think that the baby stealing guy, it will be a face at some point. We're going to see crowds dancing with a Nana dance, yep, all day long.
Brad, I agree with you 100%. Prince Nana is my choice. You know, Dax and I always talk about it, whether it's on the Rampage Ramble or the Dynamite Review. You know, we've been just gushing over the return of Prince Nana. We haven't seen him in almost 20 years, right? And seeing him not only be back, but having the presence that he does. And yeah, being with Swerve obviously helps, but that has just been an awesome, awesome story. So I agree with you. Prince Nana is my choice. Eric, who do you have for best non-wrestling performer?
Well, I was going to say Prince Nana too, but I really wanted this to be like a Family Feud style list of answers. So because, you know, we had the great answer at the start there. I got to say, how about the announcer's table, man? Just the table itself. That thing. Listen, you could almost call it a performer. That thing goes through hell almost every single week. It shows up on time, early, before anyone else, and it stays there later before anybody else leaves the ring, before they leave the arena, boys. So it's got to be the announcer's table for me. Not an announcer, just the table itself.
Hell of a pick. Hell of a pick, Eric. Love it.
I love it. All right. We're going to turn things around to the listeners, and the best non-wrestling performer for them is Paul Heyman with 60%, Don Callis with 15%, Prince Nana with 10%, and then we have Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis, and RJ City.
Boris, we're just a year ahead, I think, on this pick. Next year, I want this on the record. Next year, he is going to win the fan vote, and I think everybody on the panel.
I think next year, a name that I'm going to say is going to show up on the list, because remember, his no compete is up in just a few days. Last year, we had at 36% tied Paul Heyman and William Regal.
Oh, that's a good pick. Regal, is it really War Games unless William Regal yells War Games?
Right? Exactly. They should just wait
until
November to bring him back officially.
Adam Pearce did okay. He did okay. He did his best William Regal impersonation, cosplay, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he's missing a little bit of hair on top to do so. But he did okay. Once William Regal gets back on the TV, who knows where he's going to go? Is he going to be back in NXT? But yeah, he'll definitely be there on the list next year.
Interesting. Last year, so Paul Heyman and William Regal were tied for first. In second place was Scott D'Amore. I just had to say that for Eric.
I don't know why you do this to me. Honestly, you make me have to bring up this stuff. You make me have to talk about it. The guy's giving me a serious complex by the time that we're halfway through the list here, folks. But yeah,
I'm just riling you up for next week's show.
That was last year, right?
Yep.
Was that this year or last year?
Last year.
Okay, because like either year is equally as bad.
All right, we are going to move to a category that I love, because it really gets you thinking about how people were last year to this year, and we're going to be talking about the most improved. All right, most improved, Eric B. Why is it Giselle Shaw?
Giselle Shaw is somewhere on this list, but it's probably gonna be on the worst of, unfortunately, for Shaw. Herself. All right, so my most improved of the year, and you guys may or may not agree with me, because he came in hot. Honestly, he came in probably with surprising and making everybody like, whoa, this guy is far too good than he should be. But my most improved for 2023 is Logan Paul. Logan Paul comes into every single match that he's in extremely seriously. He trains like nobody else. This guy is really in love with professional wrestling, and he wants to prove it in his matches. From highlights to viral moments, Logan Paul continues to grow. And now with his US title run here, he is just showing us that, you know, he can be a good face for the company as well.
Yeah, I think people forget, right? Like, we expected nothing from Logan Paul, and he started off great, but he's just getting better and better and better with every performance. So we'll see where he ends up. And apparently he's booked for SmackDown in Vancouver on January the 5th. So we'll see about that. All right, Greg.
He saved Rey Mysterio's life in a spot, man. You know, we've seen that all on the internet. He saved Rey Mysterio from completely falling on his head. So Logan Paul,
yeah,
improving, completely aware, great wrestler.
Yep. Greg, Father, Fell Thumb, who do you have for most improved in 2023?
I'm going to AEW with this pick, and I'm going with Julia Hart. Julia Hart's character has improved. Her in-ring ability has improved. Julia Hart, you know, started the year with the Varsity Blondes and finishing the year now being an integral part of that faction. So I'm going to go with Julia Hart.
You know, it's funny. My choice is also Julia Hart. So I'll just, that's why I'm jumping in on that one. I think that she has done phenomenal work, especially character work, where she was last year to this year, right? Julia Hart is essentially turning into her own version of Rhea Ripley. And not talking about the dominance. I'm just talking about being able to take a faction of male wrestlers and being the focus of that faction. And I think that just goes to show you how good of a character Julia Hart is. But again, a lot of it is booking. A lot of it is how well someone is booked. But a lot has to be, like, most of it is the performer themselves. Brad, the dad, who do you have for most improved in 2023?
So I just scratched out my original one as you guys were talking. I had Baron Corbin, who I'll give an honorable mention to because I think he's done a good job reinventing himself. But then I remembered somebody who's only had like six matches. And yes, her last match was not her best match. But Maxine Dupree is an incredibly talented young lady. And I can't wait to see what they would do. I really hope she gets on the house show circuit and starts getting some matches under her belt. She has shown a great deal of improvement for somebody who's literally learning in front of our eyes.
Great choice. Great choice. All right. The listeners have spoken and they said Dominic Mysterio is the most improved with 60% of the vote. Logan Paul with 10%. WWE booking with 9%. Sky Blue and Julia Hart with 5%. God bless you all.
All our patrons are the best people in the world, guys. Because, I mean, they popped the... I hope this part video goes out, this one section, because they just popped all of us simultaneously.
Yeah, I can see you guys on the side of my eye, like as I'm reading my list. I just see your reaction sometimes, and it's that one was gold. So yeah, Sky Blue, Julia Hart getting some good mentions here. WWE booking just made me laugh so hard, and like I had to make some assumptions with what people were saying, so that's why I put it all as WWE booking there. If we take a look at last year, we had most improved as the Acclaimed and Mandy Rose, and then was Liv Morgan, and then was Daniel Garcia. All right, best comeback of 2023. All right, we're gonna start with Brad the Dad on this one.
The person who is the best surprise at Survivor Series for me, R-Truth. R-Truth is having the best comeback. And I'm so mad that he's on Raw. I wish he was on my show, but I'm so happy he gets to interact with the Judgment Day. I know. You know why everybody's pissed right now in this video? Is because everybody picked R-Truth.
I did. R-Truth is on. I did. Pick, damn it.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
I was going to say, Darren,
100%.
That's the best part of Survivor Series was R-Truth's return. I mean, I had honorable mention of The Rock and Pat McAfee because, I mean, they came back. It was a great night, but then never to be heard from again. So I guess that's okay. But yeah, it's R-Truth.
Yep.
Is there anybody that brings you any more joy right now on screen than R-Truth? Every single second he's on the screen, he's either making you laugh or he's making you interested. He's coming out in the t-shirts. He's got masking tape on it with his name on it. He just doesn't understand, and we love him for it. He's great, man. Oh, R-Truth is the best, and that's why we all choose him.
R-Truth is able to make us give a damn about JD McDonagh. You know, I love the guy as a wrestler. But his character is so flat, but R-Truth has been able to make us care about JD McDonagh. All I need at this point is for R-Truth to finally have his match with Grayson Waller, that's the match that he was in when he got injured last year. So hopefully we can revisit that for the Smack Daddy's sake. They'll be able to talk about that. But with the way things work and the draft being the draft, we know that that'll happen on Raw in some shape or form. All right, so if we take a look at the best comeback we're all in agreement that it's R-Truth, right?
Yep,
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of people are probably going to say CM Punk. I know that's probably going to be there because that was big for people, but they're looking past everything when they're saying that, and they're not seeing how important a 42-year-old R-Truth performing on screen every single week is for this company.
52-year-old R-Truth. My children and I looked him up because we were watching it. The kids saw, who's that? I'm like, it's R-Truth. My son looks him up and goes, dude, that guy's 52 years old and he looks better than you, Dad.
We all laugh as he looks better than all of us combined. Yep. Yeah. All right. So, best comeback. CM Punk, 60%. Edge, Adam Copeland at 20%. Chris Statlander at 5%. Honorable mentions to WWE and Cody Rhodes.
See, CM Punk's comeback is definitely on my list, but it's not there as the best comeback.
Yep. If we take a look at last year, Cody to WWE, Steve Austin, Jon Moxley, Bray Wyatt.
Mm.
Yep. There we go.
Man. I honestly feel it's horrible that we can't talk about Bray Wyatt this year in this category, in any of these categories, right? And obviously that's what we had all planned when he had come back last year, and that's why he was so high on that list. So, you know, rest in peace to Bray Wyatt. And yeah, man, he just continues to be an important part of the WWE landscape, even though he's no longer with us.
He'll come up on this list tonight, I promise.
Ooh.
Awesome. Good to know. All right, if we take a look at the next category, it is best gimmick. This is the best gimmick, period. We're going to start with Eric on this one.
Great. Yeah, honestly, at first when I saw this question come up, I was like, do gimmicks even truly exist in wrestling anymore? We are so to the point where we're real characters almost all across the board. But
CM Punk is trying to play a nice guy right now, so that's a gimmick, right?
I guess so. But my mind immediately goes to Alpha Academy, okay? And the reason why is because when we have Brad talking about Maxxine Dupree being, you know, a great performer, and she is, and she's definitely got a bright future ahead of her. When we have the fans actually caring about Otis, who was completely dead in the water after his run with the Money in the Bank lunchbox. I was about to say briefcase, yeah, but it wasn't lunchbox. So, and we have Chad Gable also competing on Raw to the point where fans wanted him to beat Gunther. And Gunther is definitely one of the best performers that they have in the company right now. So for me, Alpha Academy, just training every week, not only being an important comedy role in the show each week on Monday Night Raw, but they are workers, man. Yeah, it's Alpha Academy.
Great choice, great choice. All right, Greg, who do you have for the best gimmick of 2023?
Okay, I'm going to go to SmackDown with this one. I'm going to dig back to early in this year for this one as well. And to me, the best gimmick, 2023, Sami Zayn, the honorary Uus. I loved watching Sami Zayn and how he interacted with the Bloodline, him getting accepted into the Bloodline, him in Montreal with the honorary Uus Montreal Canadiens inspired gear. Absolutely loved it. I've got to go with Sami Zayn. Honorary Uus is my pick.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. And that's what I mean. Sometimes people, you forget about what happened, you know, back in January, February. All right, Brad, who do you have for the best gimmick?
I'm a theater geek, and that bias shows with Toni Storm. I love this gimmick so much. It speaks to me. And to counter Eric's point, Eric, this is a gimmick, dude. Like, it's a full gimmick. She dresses the part. They even have the black and white. Yeah. She has the butler. It's cheesy, and some of the comedy stuff doesn't work for some people, but it works for me, and it just cracks me up. So she was always missing something in WWE and AEW early in her run, and now she is the highlight of the women's division.
Yep. Yep, great choice.
Yeah,
she
was on my list here too as an honorary mention. I do want to say that also, but I feel like I just don't watch enough AEW to truly talk about that product. But yeah, Toni Storm is definitely taking over with that new gimmick of hers. Absolutely, and knocking it out of the park.
Well, the listeners have listened and they agree with you because Timeless Toni Storm wins with 60% of the vote. Alpha Academy is second with 20% of the vote. We have Heel MJF in third place. So that is the best gimmick, Timeless Toni Storm with 60% of the vote. And we take a look at last year, the Bloodline with Sami Zayn won with 40%. We had the Acclaimed at 20 and MJF at 15. Very interesting change. Very interesting that the Bloodline goes from the best to another list this year. All right, we are going to move on to the breakout performer of 2023. Last year, we're going to start with last year's picks. Last year, breakout performers were Sami Zayn at 25%, The Acclaimed at 20%, Wheeler Yuta at 10%, with notable picks Takeshita, Liv Morgan, and Logan Paul. If we take a look at this year's breakout performers, I'm going to start with Swerve Strickland. I think that just everything that he's done, you know, you gotta respect all the work that he's put in and where he is right now. And I think he's going to have an incredible 2024. So my breakout performer of 2023 is Swerve Strickland. Greg, who is your pick?
This is where I'm going to echo the comments of others, including in the last category. This to me is Timeless Toni Storm. This is where I put her on my list as the breakout performer of this year. The character development has been great, as everyone has said tonight. So I'm going to pick Toni Storm here.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. And that's the beauty, right? Like, I love how you can move people around certain categories. It's the wrestling is subjective. That's what one of the things I love about it. Eric, who is your breakout performer of 2023?
I got to give some love to the little guys here, and I got to go with Mike Speedball Bailey. Honestly, Canada's own Speedball. This guy has been everywhere this year, and he's had big matches and big wins all over this planet. New Japan Pro Wrestling against Hiromu Tanahashi. He's had a match with Ospreay, Kushida, which is honestly one of the best matches that you can see this year, and it's free on YouTube, guys. Kushida versus Speedball Bailey, an Impact, just on a regular TV show. Gringo Loco and him did a barn burner when I saw them live in Montreal for a independent pro wrestling company. And he's also had a match with SNME's own Matt Grant. So this guy is all over the map. He is all over the planet right now. And Speedball Bailey, man, the sky is the limit in 2024, as long as he can get something going on the microphone.
Yep. Brad, who do you have for your breakout performer of 2023?
It's a guy that I think has been mentioned before, but he switched sides and became a heel this year. Bron Breakker. I love heel Bron Breakker. And I can't wait for him to come up to the main roster. Whether heel or face, he's great. And one of my favorite parts of the last NXT show, the pay-per-view, the PLE, was him coming in and squashing everybody. He's a badass. And he is going to be a future WWE champion. It's only a matter of, it's not a matter of if, it's when.
Yep. Yep. Greg, who do you have for breakout performer?
You already did me. I was first.
Oh, you're first. Yeah, you were. All right. Have to edit that out then. Cool. Nah, I'm not going to do me doing editing. Come on, let's be honest here. All right, so the breakout performer here. Yeah, I did do you first. You guys know what I mean. Jesus Christ.
Wait, Boris, who is your pick? Because that's really who people want to know. Who did you pick this year, Boris?
Oh, Swerve. My boy was Swerve Strickland, along with the listener's choice, Swerve Strickland. 50% of the vote went to Swerve Strickland. This is what I mean about NXT. In second and third place, Tiffany Stratton and Trick Williams.
Great picks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we have Dom Mysterio to round out the list at 10%. All right. This is going to be an interesting one. This next category, actually, I was shocked at just how many votes went to one match, because last year This was one with only 20% of the votes. It was a tie, but 20% is all it needed. This year, it was 50%, but we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to start with Brad the Dad. What was your match of the year? Give the performers and the event and or date.
So it is Blood and Guts 2023, the Golden Elite versus the Motley Crue of the Axis of Evil. It goes for me as my favorite match because I really enjoyed being there, and I think that's a bias for me, but also just the insanity of the nails and the whole structure, and just the, at the end, the Blackpool Comedy Club and the Golden Elite shaking hands. It was a nice moment, and yeah, I can't believe we got to see that live, Greg. It was my favorite match of the year.
I can't believe we paid $50 for beer there.
See, that's the thing I believe right away. That's the thing I believe instantly.
Yep, amazing. So, Greg, what was your match of the year for 2023?
All right, my match of the year is from August 18th, 2023, from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. It is Edge's retirement match in WWE. When one Mr. Boris Roberto Aguilar was there in person and phoned in to our show after from the car while on a date. So, I mean, that one has special meaning to me. I mean, you know, it's you would swear, you know, it was like in New York or a suburb there. But no, it was in Toronto. Not in Brooklyn, but here we are, and a great, great match. It kept me entertained, not just during the show, but when we recorded. So that's where I went.
I have to edit 90%.
All right, it all stays in everything,
Eric.
Eric. Yeah, I mean,
what is your choice for match of the year?
What? Honestly, those are some definitely great great points made there by Father Feltham. I mean, what else is a wrestling match besides a brawl, right? And what's the best place to brawl besides Brooklyn? That is absolutely the best place to brawl, at least for me and Boris.
Haven't found one yet, Eric. Haven't found one yet.
Anyways, the best match of the year for me, hands down, is going to be Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door. This was a match that was the co-main event of the night, but easily was the main event of the night. By the time these two guys were done with each other, the ups, the downs, the heartbreaks, the moments of joy, seeing my little nephew Steven in the front row giving the double birds to Will Ospreay, being there in person as well, like, you know, you said, Brad, probably have a bit of a bias too, but it was definitely my match of the night, and I walked away from that event with a nice shiny Okada buck and a slice of bread. Believe it or not, when Satoshi Kojima came out, they were throwing bread all over the crowd. No, that didn't happen. But yes, I do have the Okada.
It should have happened. Should have happened. Now it's like moldy and probably has a cure to some disease we don't even know exists. All right, so my choice is the same as Eric's choice, which is the same as the listener's choice. Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay from Forbidden Door, June 25th, 2023, at the Scotiabank Arena with 50%. Of the vote going to that. Here's a fun one. Swerve versus Hangman from Full Gear at 20%. The Texas death match. Then we have Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley at 15% from WrestleMania Night 1. And then Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay from Wrestle Kingdom with 10%. Very interesting.
Man, people really like Kenny. Blood. People really like Blood with that Swerve Strickland and Adam Page match. I mean, what else did we get in that match besides just copious amounts of color, as you would call it in the industry?
And guts. Yep. People love guts too.
If we take a look at last year's choices, it was a tie between Cody versus Seth Rollins from Hell in a Cell and the FTR versus the Briscoes from Supercard of Honor with 20%. Will Ospreay versus Okada, the G1 Finals, was second. And then Gunther versus Sheamus from Clash at the Castle rounded out last year's choices. All right, we are going to go with Feud of the Year for 2023. And let me just say, I love the listeners' so much. But we're going to get to that in a second. Eric, what is your feud of the year for 2023?
Honestly, I got to look at the dominance of the faction when I'm talking about this, and that is the Judgment Day versus everyone. Anybody who's been thrown in front of the Judgment Day, no matter what promotion they're in, they have run through them. They have all held titles in this year, and they just continue to shine. I mean, besides, of course, JD McDonagh, but he doesn't really count, right? I know he's got a really big head, so he stands out a lot on their team, but he just doesn't count yet, right? I think that actually R-Truth counts a little bit more than he does, especially after he won on Raw to kick him out. So we'll see what happens there. But for me, it's Judgment Day, just being the dominant faction here, especially as Roman Reigns has taken more or less a hiatus for 75% of the year.
Yep, agreed with you 100%. Greg, Father Faltham, your feud of the year goes to?
The Bloodline versus My Patience. Because it's, I feel like I've been in one of Boris's relationships here. There's ups, there's downs, whether I can tolerate it or not. I was going to say, I have everyone spit-taking now. Boris just turned away. He's not even looking at me. It's up, it's down, it's Ross, it's Rachel. I don't know what this is. I'm at a point now where I don't want to see it on my TV. So what started at the beginning of the year was it was hot and now it's cold. So I went the Bloodline versus My Patience.
This is the last year that you're going to be on this panel. All right, Brad, who is your choice for feud of the year in 2023?
CM Punk versus AEW, bracket Tony Khan.
All right. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. All right. So my choice for feud of the year was Swerve versus Hangman. And the reason I just stopped you was because I'm going to go to the listener's choice. And this is why I love our listeners. They agree with you, Brad. With 50% of the vote, CM Punk versus AEW.
Because he basically burned it down on his way out. And that's why it's amazing. He took something that we, this time last year, we were all so excited and happy for, and he somehow managed to break it. And he broke it so badly that I think Tony Khan spent the month after CM Punk and Wembley in the fetal position, just rolling around saying, I cannot believe this happened again. Why is my favorite toy not playing nice with the others?
I feel threatened. All right.
Listen. He's not here to make money. He's here to make friends, guys. Give him a break.
All right. So we have CM Punk versus AEW with 50%. We have Swerve versus Hangman and Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline, both at 15%. Will versus Kenny at 10%. And Judgment Day versus the World rounds out this year's picks. If we take a look at last year, MJF versus CM Punk with 45% of the vote. And then we had Seth Rollins versus Cody with 20% of the vote. There we go. That's where we're at. Let's take a look at the best angle for 2023. We're going to start this time with Brad.
So I also have an interesting pick for this one. The Bloodline until SummerSlam 2023 was my angle of the year. The whole thing with Sammy being turned on, all of the stuff with Sammy's run in Montreal, Roman Reigns somehow keeping the Bloodline together, all of the Bloodline drama. And then once you start having people turn on each other and super kick their partners and matches it, and then Jay has to go to a different brand. It was just at that point, it was like jumping the shark. And now I'm with, I was the positive one. And now Greg, I'm with Greg. Like when I see them now, I just, but until that point, I was there for all of that. I enjoyed the whole thing. And now it's going to be my ballot for next week.
Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff right there. All right, Greg. Might as well go to you right now.
All right. Best angle this year. It was a toss up here between Kurt and Jason Jordan. I didn't know which angle I was going to pick. But see, I do this. I'm just fighting to make sure I don't get invited next year. See, this is what I'm here for. Okay. What I really picked for best angle this year was the big fight feel we had. And it pains me to pick this, but it's Sammy and Roman at Elimination Chamber with Ariel Helwani doing the promos and Ariel Helwani in the crowd doing interviews. That to me was the turning point where, as Brad said, you know, it jumped a shark and it was all downhill from there. So that was my kind of cutoff point was Sammy and Roman at Elimination Chamber.
I think that's a very fair assessment, Dan. I know a lot of people feel the same way. Eric, what do you have for best angle?
Well, I mean, firstly, I just need to mention I was in Mexico. I was out having a great time, enjoying some beverages. And as soon as the Elimination Chamber came to the main event, I ran back to my place and I turned it on. That match was incredible. The angle was incredible. Just to see how high they raised it up was absolutely incredible as well. But for my choice, I have to go with Gunther's IC title reign and just the angle that he continues to elevate talent and knock them down and just run through them. And he is going all the way till WrestleMania with this, at least again. Like, that's where we're going with this. And it's come to the point now where WWE has to bring in a really big name, or say a Brock Lesnar, for example, to take that off of him. So for me, it is the leader of Imperium, the Ring General, just destroying every single person and shining in every single match he's been in this year.
Yep. Excellent choice. Man, Eric, the more I think about this, I feel that he is just going to give up the IC title and say he wants to go for the World Heavyweight. Like, I honestly think he's not going to lose the IC title.
Yeah, at first when you said that, Boris, I thought you were going to say you just continue to agree with me, you know, like we continue to agree on Brawling,
Giselle Shaw,
Brooklyn. Yeah, well, Giselle Shaw, definitely. We're definitely on the same page with her. That's for sure.
Anywho, so if
you cut me
my choice, I don't even know where I'm going with this anymore. My choice, you guys completely threw me and my notes off. So best angle for me was Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. That is what the people said here. Bloodline getting 70% of the vote. I will say that I also added the votes for the Royal Rumble angle that they ran with Kevin Owens and the blow up of the Bloodline. The way that people put it in the ballot, I just put everything Bloodline related into one. So they got 70% of the vote. We then have Adam Cole and Roderick Strong in second place, and then Adam Cole and MJF, actually they're both tied with 10% each. There we go. If we take a look at last year, we have the Bloodline and Sami Zayn with 65% of the vote. So it's gone up, which is very interesting. MJF quitting and his return at 15%, and then Bray Wyatt at 10%. All right, we are going to move on to the best pay-per-view. This is only including wrestling, no MMA. Eric, what was your favorite pay-per-view of 2023?
Well, I was going to go with Impact's Resurgence in Toronto, but unfortunately, I am going to have to go with Forbidden Door. And you guys know I was going to go with Forbidden Door.
yeah.
From start to finish, there was a match, you know, that was always going to be in your face, that was never going to give you the chance to go to the bathroom, honestly. And that says a lot about pro wrestling, to make sure that I sat down for every single match and I was there. I definitely had some libations while I was there, but I ran as fast as I could to the concession stand to get back in my seat every single time for every match. And yeah, I hate to say this too, but I think it almost ruined the rest of the year for me. That's how good it was. It almost ruined everything else that I'm constantly just comparing things to Forbidden Door. And I know I can't do that anymore. But yeah, that was the top tier of all pay-per-views for me this year. And the top tier of probably what I think AEW is ever going to be able to do. So that's my pose.
So you're seeing it as, you know, Vince Russo and Survivor Series 98 Deadly Games, like that. That's
dude,
it.
No,
it's all downhill.
I'm seeing it as, you know, Ready to Rumble as a wrestling movie. You're never going to get any better than that. I don't care what you say about Iron Claw.
I will rule you. All right, we're going to move on to Greg.
I love he hesitates now when it comes to me. So, Eric,
to be 100% honest, can I tell you why I hesitated? I forgot your name.
That's fair. All right. I mean, the guy's been making fun of you all night. That's great. Okay. So I wish I had better memories, Eric, of a Forbidden Door, but I spent that day in the hospital here. So I didn't get to really enjoy Forbidden Door as much as you guys did, even though I wanted to be there in person with you guys. I'm going to go with, and I don't know if Brad's picking this, but I know Brad and I did the aftercast for Survivor Series, and I'm going to go with Brad's watching of Survivor Series, because Brad turned off the show as soon as he saw that WWE logo come up at the end. If you watch Survivor Series up to that point, it was best show of the year. So that's where I'm going to, you know, borrow a gimmick we have on the show where we cut things out. I'm cutting out Survivor Series as soon as that logo goes up to end the show, and that's what I'm calling best pay-per-view of the year.
I love it. Brian,
I had that
review of 2023.
I had the first match on that show as part of, as an honorable mention, and that show has a special place in my heart because my daughter sat down and watched most of that show with me. So that was not only to do the aftercast, but I got to hang out with my kid who is a giant Oscar fan now, and yeah, that's a whole different story. I've Forbidden Door. How could it be anything else? That was from Simon the Stern, and I paid for that show out of my pocket, but I also paid for that show for about 24 hours because I was dog ass tired because I had to get up and go to work the next day, as many people did. And it was like, dude, you paid for that show.
We all paid for that show. Like, that show was so long. I was off the next morning, but oh man, I was exhausted. I was so tired. I think we were all so tired that there was no aftercast until like 48 hours later. And it was Steve Swift who did it.
Yeah.
That was a rough week, guys, honestly, because even leading up to Forbidden Door, there was, you know, Dynamite and Rampage going on. Collision wasn't around yet at that point, but there was so much going on with AEW. People are in town doing meet and greets. Oh man, I was so tired. I went to Toys R Us to see Orange Cassidy.
Was Eddie Kingston driving down the 401 or something, I remember. I don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah, and a Durango. Randy can confirm.
I love that. Collision was there because, like, I took my nephew the night before. So, like, that entire week was just a fever dream, to say the least. All right, I'm going to go with Forbidden Door as well. And I think there is some bias here because 60% of people said Forbidden Door 2, which took place in Toronto, in second place with 15% was AEW All In. And then Survivor Series rounds out the top three. If we take a look at last year, it was Forbidden Door that won, and then it was AEW Full Gear, and then WrestleMania and Clash at the Castle were tied for third place. All right, this is the most interesting category that we have, and it is the best promotion for 2023. And we're going to start this with last year's choices, just so that we can take in how the landscape of professional wrestling has changed. Last year's best promotion with 60% AEW, 30% with WWE, and then at 5% we have New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom. This year, Brad, best promotion for 2023.
Hands down WWE. It's not even close. I am watching Raw again live, and not just the 3 weeks I had to do Draw Straw. I am literally watching it live, and to the point that I rewatch things like the R-Truth and Judgment Day segment just so I could share it with other people, including the two of my family. It is just everything's good. And I mean, NXT was unwatchable this time last year and now is also must see. So WWE.
Excellent. 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 All right. You, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your choice for best promotion in 2023?
In WWE, yeah, it's WWE. I mean, there's no argument here. Maybe my colleague, Mr. Blondon, can make an argument for Impact, but here I am.
No,
I'm picking WWE. Well, you can this year because, I mean, they're done, right? There's no more Impact, so... You know, maybe that's why they're the best promotion. They've now renamed themselves. So I don't know. But yeah, it's WWE.
Eric, what's your choice for best promotion in 2023?
Yeah, Impact Wrestling. No, it's WWE, obviously. Listen, TKO merger, big changes, right? Changing in ownership, changing of the guards, Vince McMahon really stepping away and letting Triple H take over, changing of writers. These guys are just giving us every single thing that we want out of pro wrestling right now, right? And that goes across all of their brands, from Raw, NXT to SmackDown. There's something that's always going to be good for you to want to watch. And yes, Raw is still a very long show. We might see them eventually go back to 2 hours. But from a company standpoint, how could you do that, right? You're going to miss out on so many marketing opportunities. And Triple H has been really smart about that as well. Yes, we've noticed it a lot in Doritos Loco matches with little Doritos dancing around, which I like. I like campy shit, guys. So maybe that's just me. But yeah, it's WWE.
All right, we're just going to go to the listener's choice because my choice is WWE with 75% of the vote. WWE. 75% of people like WWE.
Dan Lavransky is spinning somewhere going, like, he's going to hear this and he's going to come wind sprinting through one of our doors, like, and question our sanity.
AEW only got 10% of the vote.
I'm not surprised by any of this. Not at all.
Yep. And then we have Impact and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Impact and New Japan Pro Wrestling.
The bigger, I think, is the it's gotta be Impact.
They're tied. They're tied.
Okay. What happened to Stardom? That's the real story here, because compared to last year, they just fell off a cliff.
Honestly, I just think it's not that they fell off a cliff. Stardom is actually hotter than ever. We're going to be talking about that in a special roundtable next week, because we have the official numbers about the most watched TV shows from Japan. Paul Yorkie sent me the list, and we're going to be talking about that in a roundtable that we're going to be doing next week, because you'd be surprised at the Japanese market and what they actually watch in terms of wrestling compared to what we watch of their products. All right, so yeah, very interesting. So WWE is just dominating and seems to have won a lot of fans over this year. We're going to move on to best TV show again, just because I want to show the juxtaposition of where we were from last year to this year. AEW Dynamite won with 85% of the vote, and Friday Night SmackDown with 12% of the vote. Gentlemen, Greg, what is your pick for best TV show?
Well, I think last year I was in a minority opinion. I don't think I'm so much this year. It's SmackDown. SmackDown has been the A show. I'm sorry, Eric. But Monday Night Raw has been relegated to B show now. SmackDown is where the money is, even though apparently they don't make money because Fox kicked them off. But yeah, it is SmackDown, 100%.
Brad?
I'm sticking with my Blue Bear and SmackDown. And not just so I have to watch every week. When there are weeks that I'm off, I watch the show still. SmackDown is a great show. Like, and it's as Raw's as good. It's just it's only 2 hours on SmackDown. And Eric, thank goodness you're doing the Raw review.
Yeah, doing the Lord's work single Monday. Eric, what is your favorite TV show?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I like Raw so much. All right, because I never watch Raw live. I always watch Raw the next morning. I have no commercials. I can get through the entrances. I can get through the nonsensical backstage in between matches nonsense that they've been doing recently. So for me, I mean, nostalgia is also coming into play here too. Honestly, Raw has always been the epicenter of everything that WWE has been doing. SmackDown, it's really, listen, Raw is the Steve Austin show and then SmackDown is the Rock show, right? SmackDown absolutely has had some incredible talent, but unless Roman is really there to carry the load, it's not as special. With Raw, you have Seth, you've got Rhea there for the entire year, and now you have guys like CM Punk, and it just keeps on getting better. So for me, it's Raw.
I love the eye rolls that Greg and Brad gave him when putting down SmackDown.
Listen, not everybody is going to agree, and I'm not putting down SmackDown by any means, because I think, listen, you guys are very lucky getting those 2 hours. Honestly, I could get through that in like an hour and a half. So you're very lucky, and yeah, I got to go with Raw, though. I have to go with where my Raw dog sense is going.
Yep. You watch Raw the same way that Jason Agnew used to watch. Jason used to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to watch Raw, take his notes, and be ready for the midweek markout. All right, so my choice is SmackDown. It so happens to be the same choice as the listeners, with 50% going to WWE SmackDown. AEW Collision with 20% of the vote. NXT with 10% of the vote to round things out. That's where we are in 2023, my friends.
Dynamite is off the list and NXT is on. That is amazing.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, that's incredible.
What is happening? All right. We are going to move to the best supporting media. It can be a book, digital series, network show, Peacock special, what have you, something that involves professional wrestling. We're going to start with Eric. Eric, what is your best supporting media for 2023?
Okay, so I got to go to a Canadian-made media, and you might choose its counterpart over this, but for me, I really enjoyed Tales of the Territory this year. I thought that Tales of the Territory gave you all the backstories that you wanted from professional wrestling, and from like the D, E, and F guys of professional wrestling too, right? So it was all new stuff, and it was always like a fun story where Tales of the Territory Dark Side of the Ring always had a way of going dark and down by the end of the episode. So I love Tales of the Territory, and I hope it comes back.
Agreed. Agreed with you 100%, because that is my pick as well. Tales of Territory was just fun. You know, in a world where there's just so much sadness and depression, it's just cool hearing cool stories from retired wrestlers. How many of these stories are true can be up for debate, because we love professional wrestlers and how they tell stories. But it was a fun production, and there's the Canadiana around it. Greg, what is your choice for best supporting media?
Mine comes out the crack of dawn every Sunday. It's AEW. Always enjoy watching RJ City and what ridiculousness he's going to have, and his ability to ask questions or make suggestions to his guests that have them break character, maybe crack them up, a little inside reference here or there. It kind of reminds me of someone I don't know who. But that's where I went with here, with a little AEW.
Bradley, what do you have for the best supporting media?
I'm going to be Greg's Amen Corner. AEW, but also because of the things you guys said, it just makes me laugh, and it's fun, and it's a little light of joy. I don't get to watch it at the crack of Sunday, but after a hectic day, when I'm doing some video editing later in the day, I put it on while I'm doing my work, and it makes me happy. And it's another Canadiana one, RJ City. I cannot believe that WWE had him and let him go, just because they didn't have the vision of what he could do.
Yep. All right. My choice is AEW as well. When we turn to the listeners, the wrestlers from Netflix wins at 30%. AEW with 20%, and the bump at 15%.
Does anyone actually still watch that?
At 15%
of you guys went to the bump. Okay, I mean, yeah, I watched The Bump when my nephew was on. I watched it, but I haven't watched The Bump in a very long time. So, yeah, right. Like I said, there's always something out there for everybody in the industry right now, and that's what is making it so good.
I honestly didn't realize that they still made that.
Yep, it's every Wednesday, my friend. Biggest industry story of 2023. We're going to start with Brad on this one.
Can it be anything other than the formation of TKO, the merger of WWE and UFC? It's the story that we're going to be talking about for years to come, because it's the gift that keeps giving. It's made both brands better, and if as long as Triple H stays in control and Vince McMahon is off wherever he is, it's the best thing ever.
Yep. Greg.
Ditto. Brad summed it up perfectly. It's TKO. I mean, I'm sure people will argue people returning in Chicago, but it's not. It's TKO merger. This will reverberate through the years. This is going to change the face of the wrestling industry. So it's TKO merger.
Yep. All right, Eric, who do you what do you have for the biggest industry story?
I got to go with a curveball here, and I got to say the safety of a billionaire is definitely the biggest industry story for me this year. And the reason why, and I know I'm joking as I say that, but the reason why I'm saying that is for the same reasons that Greg just said. Everything that happened in that incident between Jack Perry and CM Punk is going to affect and has already affected the landscape of not only AEW, but professional wrestling for the next few years to come. We're going to see what happens with AEW. Is this going to be the start of the end, kind of, right? And a lot of people, and as we can see from the listeners as well, their votes have completely turned off the product after that. We didn't even have Dynamite in that list of TV shows. Not one person voted for AEW. That's insane, guys.
It's funny. I look at the numbers of hits, not only on the podcast, obviously, but from my slam reports, and there's before All In and after All In. And let me tell you, it is crazy how low the numbers have gotten after All In for anything AEW related. All right, we are going to go with the listeners because I agree with them, and that is the merger of UFC and WWE, the creation of TKO, and this wins with 65%, 55%, CM Punk drama with 20%, CM Punk to WWE with 15%, and with 5%, Tony Khan social media presence.
Which is a good honorable mention by our listeners. Guys, good pick up on that one, because that is also part of that drama. Although, I mean, Eric, I think basically the audience, those like from the upper part, those lower votes, basically agreed with you. Those three things are all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see again where these TV deals end up. If Jack Perry single-handedly got WWE Raw to WB Discovery, just this world is just crazy. Like, oh man, what a world it's going to be. What a story it's going to be. Last year's choice was Vince's retirement at 80% and the All Out media scrum at 20%.
Oh, wow. Man. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Right? Best moment, something that made you happy to be a wrestling fan. We're going to start with Eric on this one.
Is there anything better that happened this year as far as a moment, just a sheer moment in time than CM Punk coming back to WWE? I mean, I was at a bar watching that as it happened, and I can tell you the silence in the bar at the end, especially when that WWE logo came up, you could hear a pin drop in that place. And as soon as CM Punk's music hit, there was grown men running around, hugging each other, slamming tables. The bartenders were terrified. I'm just going to be honest with you. They were terrified. I don't know where they just like thought we were starting to riot or something. But man, the pure joy and the actual first time that I've been surprised by wrestling in at least 5 years, it's got to be CM Punk coming back to WWE.
Greg, who do you have?
Oh, I'm what shaking. Well, first, I was concerned for Eric's safety there, or the brawl breaking out.
He's not a billionaire. We shouldn't be concerned for his safety. Don't worry
about
it.
No, I mean, you know, he's in a bar. There's brawling that's happening. I mean, that you've got to be concerned for your fellow's safety here. I could not be any more opposed to Eric's comments there. I'm shaking my head the whole time thinking, oh, my God. Like,
I saw
Eric, it was dropped on his head, obviously. Like, you know, Logan Paul didn't save him. That will come up when we get to the worst of show. I promise that. The best moment that I had this year, It's a sad moment, but I'm going to put it in as my best moment. And I alluded to it earlier. It's the Bray Wyatt Memorial Night. That was a special moment in wrestling that made me feel good. It made me feel happy that they honored him in the way that they honored him. Yes, it was awfully hard to watch. It was hard to do a show about it afterward. But that was a moment that made me happy to be a wrestling fan, the way they honored him properly. So that's where I went this year, was Bray Wyatt Memorial Night.
Greg, I agree with you 100% because that is my choice. Did something that, honestly, as a grown man, almost 40 years old, it made me tear up just thinking about everything with Bray Wyatt, thinking about his family, thinking about his children, thinking about JoJo, just thinking about my life in general, right? Like, that was just one of those touching moments of professional wrestling that can make a grown man and someone with a glass eye cry, because it was just crazy. Like, just everything leading up to that night, you didn't know exactly what they were going to do. You weren't sure what was going to happen. It was 24 hours removed of the news coming out. It was just a crazy time. So I agree with you. It was the Bray Wyatt Memorial SmackDown that I had to choose for best moment, because it did make me happy to be a wrestling fan at that time. Brad, what do you have for best moment?
I don't have a specific moment, but I have a feeling, and the feeling is the feeling I get when I do a podcast or when I listen to one of the other podcasts network. So SNME is my best moment, just being able to like go on the board and have discussions with some of the people there. I know people are going to think that I'm just fishing, but honestly, that's what makes me love watching wrestling. I love like the conversations we get to have, the one I get to have with my buddy Greg, and just these kind of roundtables, these discussions. So that for me is what, like, it's what I've always, when I went through my dark periods with wrestling, where I was the only person I knew watching it, it was one of those things where that's what I missed. And to be able to have this reminds me of my favorite memories of wrestling, going to high school day after Raw and talking with my buddies, except that my buddies now live in different places in the world, other than Greg, who lives like 20 minutes that way. But the rest of you guys, like I've haven't seen most of you in person, and even some of the listeners, Andre, special shout out to Sean Burkhead. Like, I know that just made his day. He made the best of show. He'll make the worst of show next week. Don't worry, Sean. But that's it. You guys made my day. Right. My conversations with Randy, like with so many different people, Matt, like you guys are all great. And my heart is more full and my life is happier because of each and every one of you.
Someone just invited themselves back for next year.
I know, right? You're trying to get out of it. He's trying to stay in it. I love it. All right, so we're going to go to the listeners' picks. CM Punk's return to WWE, one with 50%. AEW in Wembley Stadium with 20%. CM Punk fired was at 10%. I love our listeners so much. And then the Bray Wyatt Memorial episode was tied with 10%. I love how CM Punk can be on the same list for completely opposite reasons.
He is definitely the one thing I will say. He is definitely the person everybody's talking about in this industry now. And he has thrown all of the WrestleMania plans into flux. So it's going to be an exciting 2024, because with CM Punk on the other side, who knows what we're going to get? Will he finish his story and actually main event at WrestleMania?
Right. That's exactly it. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. That is the best of 2023. Next week, we're going to be coming back with the worst of 2023. So I cannot wait for that. Again, just remember that there are so many ways that you can get a hold of us. Go to snmeradio.com. Go to your favorite podcast catcher, podcast app, and do a search for Sunday Night's Main Event. Be part of this conversation. And the best way to do that is by joining our Facebook group. I go to Facebook and in the little search bar, just searching for SNME Radio. You can also be part of the family and by joining our Patreon, which the Patreon will be new, revamped, starting in the new year. And for just $5 a month, you'll be able to be part of the family. And for that, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/SNME. Radio. So thank you so much for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event here. And remember, we are powered by podstars.net. Until next week, on behalf of Eric, Greg, Brad, myself, and the entire crew, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, stay safe, and most importantly,
stay tranquilo.